welcome everyone back to another week here at Drone DJ. And this week, we've got a new drone for you, along with news from AUVSS annual exponential. Wow, that's always a mouthful. We've also got some updates on Hawaii's new drone laws on fishing, as well as more eVTOL updates, if those of you were interested in that flying taxi. So let's kick off with the new drone. Let me just share the screen, and it'll be interesting to hear everyone's thoughts on this.
Well, okay, if you go by what Snapchat, or aka well, the parent company Snap, it's not a drone, it's a flying camera. And I think I made at least four or five references to that in the article when I wrote it. I think I saw like Snap's like not a drone.
It's like finding on that name. Everyone's gonna be calling it the Snap drone. Like, who the hell is gonna call it?
They don't want to call it. They want you to call it Pixie, which is what its name is. Called it Snap's Pixie.
What or, they want to call it, and what people end up calling it is not always the same.
Yeah, I remember there's always a great story of this of the NFL giving all their players, all their analysts, Microsoft services as like advertisements, and they just kept calling them iPads. Like it doesn't matter how much money you give or how much you tell them, they're gonna call it what you want to call it. Yeah. So Snap's little tiny pocket-sized drone. It's called Pixie.
It's got the name.
Yep. It starts at 230, if I remember correctly, 250 for like kind of like their flight pack, which has like an extra battery. It's interesting. So you mentioned, you know, you didn't expect a software company making a drone. Well, Snap, really, they don't look at themselves as a software company. They're an AR company, or they're
augmented reality.
Yeah. So this is kind of like their if it helps with their AR stuff, they'll build it. So they already created their, this is years ago, their spectacles, they call them, which are just glasses with a camera in it. And it goes right to your Snapchat app, and same thing with this Pixie. Like, it's weird. So
there's no controller from what I understand.
Yeah. You don't fly Pixie. Pixie flies itself, which is a little terrifying. And I think it only goes like 15 feet away from you and 30 feet up, I think.
Flying selfies.
It's pretty much, yeah. The Wall Street Journal had a review of it right away, and it's a hilarious review because she's like a tech person, not a drone person, and so she kind of like just straight up calls it like a hands-free selfie stick. And there's a couple of different modes. Let me actually pull up the article so I can list off those modes. They're pretty much the modes that you would think of when you're looking at a drone, like I don't know, the smart features and stuff like that. You have like orbits, you have hover, follow, and then there's a fourth one which I'm trying to find in the article. I don't remember where it is, but reveal, I think. Was that the one that I said? I say that one or not? But they're pretty standard. Oh, follow, that's the one. So they're all pretty standard modes that you would see at more smart features on a drone. And the way you kind of use it is take it out of your pocket. It's in the palm of your hand. It's about the size of the palm of your hand. I think the official weighs like 100 grams, I think. So it's super light. You turn the dial to what mode? Which is
really for indoor mostly, because if you take it outside, it's not going to be good in the wind.
Yeah, it only has level 2 wind resistance. So it's like 7 miles per hour. So that was one of the things I mentioned that, like, yeah. If you plan on using this outside, hopefully you are in a zero wind, because the thing's going to not work.
Plus, it's not available right away.
Yeah, 11 to 12 weeks.
Made its shipment in 11 to 12 weeks.
I think if I remember correctly, when they released their glasses, it was about the same and in limited quantity. Now I think the first set of their glasses were limited quantity. And they mostly just went out to like YouTubers and check reviewers and stuff like that. But now they sell them like regularly. So like I would expect like the same thing with this. If it's successful, which could be hit or miss, they could do a limited quantity. And then like in a year or two, they'll bring it back, an updated version of it. And it will be like continuously produced.
So my first impression of this was, it just reminded me of Lily So if anyone remembers the Lily drone, and we're talking about back beginning of time, it was announced, I believe, close to 2015, and then was highly anticipated in 2016, and then finally it was accepted as a failure. At that time, it just promised so much, right? Back then, the Lily drone, you could throw it in the air and it's going to follow you around. And it was also a outdoor model. So they were targeting the active sports market, the typical GoPro market for skiers, you know, and surfers. Mm-hmm. They got a bunch of money from crowdfunding and they never ended up delivering the drone. So when I first saw, you know, Snap's Pixie, my first impression was, oh, throw it in the air. That just reminds me of the Lily drone. And I hope these guys at least deliver this time. So I've got to say, number one, they kept the propellers enclosed. So that's smart. And number two, they're doing this, they're mostly targeting for indoors, right? With the wind. So this is not for an outdoor unit. So well, right off the top of my head, it's definitely, you know, hitting the better segmented market than Lily from back then.
They said, yeah, in their event, and this was kind of weird, like we didn't get any heads up about this whatsoever, like not even our sister site 95 Mac, which has a pretty close relationship with Snap. And in the morning yesterday, their FCC filing was released. And so we were like working on that, like, oh, cool, nice, I think I'm gonna be releasing a drone. And all of a sudden, like an hour later, you know, they had their event and they announced it. And they did mention that you can fly it inside. Pretty much the way that it works is it has two cameras. That's the front-facing camera for, like, tracking you and, like, taking photos and videos. I think it's just actually video. And it has a bottom camera, which, like, makes sure it's stable. So I don't know how, whatever technology you have to just use a camera to make sure that it's level and stuff like that is, you know, whatever they're doing. But most of their stuff was outside. Like they were definitely not targeting inside. They just mentioned that you can do it inside. Most of their like promotion or their demos were outside. Material? I wouldn't be surprised if they were done on like a soundstage or something, or maybe they were just straight outside. I don't know. But like, because they're just like, oh, it's fine. It's great. Like, how is it not super windy on top of a mountain? Like, have you ever been on top of a mountain?
You have to catch that little window of time, right? Like first hour of the day or last hour.
In between wind gusts. Yeah. So, and it, you know, it does this thing. Like it shoots, it's better than 1080. So I think it's 2.7K is like the resolution. So it's definitely designed for social media. It is not going to be like a professional drone, you know, obviously. I think the biggest issue with it is the flight time. They say you can get up to 8 flights on a single battery.
But what's the flight time per flight?
So the flight time is actually, so you control through the app. You can set it up to like 60-second videos. So I'm assuming it'll probably be like a minute and a half or something like that. It's like the longest you can fly. Like you set it to be a minute. You set the thing. You put your hand out with it in your palm. It takes off. Flies to what it does, what it's going to do, and then flies back. So, like, probably a minute and a half at the most is how long that it will be flying for. And so, it says you can get up to 8 of them. According to reviews, they were only getting like 4 flights before you have to change.
As we know, anytime you look at the flight time on the drone, you always discount it. You never go with the max of what the manufacturer says.
Now, and of course their flight time rating is always like in the most perfect conditions. So like no wind, you know, you're probably doing 30-second videos because you can go down to like a couple seconds or
in ideal scenarios, basically.
Yeah, like in like the most perfect scenarios so you can get the highest number possible. So I guess if you're doing 60-second stuff and it's a little windy, so it has to fight the wind, I guess it makes sense that it would go much lower. Now, I guess the batteries are like $20 each, which I guess isn't terrible. I mean, I mean, this is like not necessarily a super expensive drone. It's still a bit much, but for something that's like this limited, but I mean, it's not for the person who loves Snapchat.
Say, why is it yellow? Why is it yellow?
Oh, it's their brand. Like Snap is yellow. Yeah, like it's That's what their spectacles were too when they came out. They were bright yellow and they looked stupid. On your face,
it just looked like a toy. I mean, when it comes to an actual product, when it's yellow, it has that toy feel.
It really looks like a toy when you see the propellers. Like they're orange and like they're like that see through plastic.
Yeah,
like it looks like, yeah, those are gonna break. Like that's what's gonna break on these things is the propellers. Which they don't look. I felt like if this was made out of like metal. Or like a more harder plastic, similar to like what the DJI like mini or whatever. I would probably be like, okay, yeah, cool. It's worth $200. Like that's fine. Like the materials to put in there, it's fine. Like it's not gonna break. But this thing just looks like it's gonna break within like a month. Well, and it doesn't have obstacle avoidance, so don't do your little reveal, which is like it goes reveal is kind of like I can't think of what DJI has. So
it goes up and then
it just kind of like diagonally goes back.
Yeah, yeah, so that's the droney one.
Droney, yeah. So like it just goes diagonally back and yeah. So don't do it with a tree behind in front of
you. I like that comment. Yeah, it does help what you're trying to look for.
You know, I was thinking this when I was flying my Nano and my Light. They're bright orange, and I actually love that they're bright orange, because when I'm flying them and like I'm out a couple hundred feet, even with the Nano, I can still see it. So you know what? I don't mind that it's bright yellow because you can see it. It's kind of practical. You won't lose it as easily.
So I guess the vote is still on, right? Would you buy one and wait, 3 to 4 months and then see where it lands?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know I'm going to wait for the product to actually be available so you can buy it and it can ship, ASAP, and then I would get my hands on one.
Yeah, so you can buy it now, $230, I think, just for the drone, a battery, and like kind of like the case it comes in. And I think a carrying lanyard or whatever, which is really which is kind of weird and funny. Like you put it around your neck as a necklace or like as a purse. I think it's $250 for like an extra battery. With like included in that, and then it's $20 a battery, and then $50 for the dual battery charger. Otherwise, you just plug it into the drone and plug in a USB-C cable to it to charge it. And they ship for the 11 to 12 weeks, and they're only available in the U.S. and France and they only have limited quantity. So actually, you might not be able to get it because it's not available in Canada.
Well, I could always cross the border. It's not like we're that far.
Maybe, yeah. So I'm contemplating whether or not I get one for you guys to review it. I've reached out to see if I can get a review in it, but
I guess we shall see.
We will see in the future.
Okay, so next piece of news. This is the week of AUVSI Exponential for those of you who are in more of the enterprise, government, industry world. This is really the event of the year. What's surprising is I wasn't seeing, obviously, if you look at the AUVSI as the exhibitor list, there are tons of companies over there, especially if we start looking at, I believe Skydio is there. But I was really looking for, so Skydio is there. I was really looking for information about their outdoor demo because that was the added feature this year for Exponential. And I couldn't find anything from their social media just talking about their outdoor demo, what's actually happening there, how big is it, how do people actually attend, not seeing any information.
Yeah, and also it's Florida. It's Central Florida. Weather's a little iffy. I lived up there for a few years, so it could totally just be just the weather just hasn't cooperated down there. Cause like rain can just pop up at any time. So if your drones can't, handle rain, you're pretty much done. Also you don't want to really be outside in rain. So at an expo. So maybe there's just weather issues with it. Cause I can totally see that being a problem, but we've seen a lot of great things out of it. We've had our our colleague Scott down there. He's written a few articles for us.
Definitely seen some interesting equipment down there.
I found this one like really, really interesting. Like this was a really cool product that he found that he just kind of like gravitated to, which is this AirGility, you know, eVTOL type delivery drone, which is more meant for industrial delivery, not necessarily consumer delivery. It's, as you can tell, it's much larger. And it's kind of like the airframe kind of, he mentioned that the cargo space kind of opens up like a military jet, military aircraft, which is kind of the market it's going for, being able to deliver stuff into the field cheaper or at least easier, than having to send like a whole convoy out there of military vehicles to resupply a group somewhere. So it's pretty, it's a gyrocopter, which is something I never really thought about being a possibility on a drone.
It's interesting design for sure. There's quite a few updates this month, right, on that eVTOL, because essentially is if you can make an aircraft vertical takeoff and landing, then you're saving a lot on infrastructure on not creating the runway, right, the taxi and runway. So there's definitely a lot of that going, especially for the autonomous vehicles, right? Like these are all in the autonomous league. So the difference between there's autonomous and then there's automated. So automated, like even if you use a regular DJI drone, you do Dronimo, that's still automated because you're watching it, but you're not controlling it. You're letting the drone to run its program. Where autonomous is you don't even watch it, right? You don't have a controller. You know, someone is on the back end sitting in the CNC and programming, you know, multiple missions and looking at it from the computer back end at the same time. So that's autonomous. And that's where we see there's a lot of push on autonomous for general aviation. You're really starting to see the blur, right, between the drone world and traditional aviation. It really started to get blurry.
Yeah, and actually, I gotta correct myself. Agility is technically not eVTOL; it's a hybrid. So I think it takes off like they use batteries for the their gyrocopter / motorized propellers, and then once it's in the air, it switches over to a front facing propeller, similar to like just a prop plane, and that is not electric, I believe. So. But and then they kind of use those kind of like those side things as like, you know, gyrocopters, right? That, you know, they're kind of passive and they produce lift. However, you can also, they mentioned, this is one of the cool things is that like, kind of like how electric vehicles have regenerative braking, they can kind of like turn that on for if they want to like yaw or like do anything type, any type of maneuvering, they can turn that on for some of the blades, and then it will slow that down and use that power to power the other side. And so it can like turn, which is pretty genius technology right there.
There's also another one. Wow, that's an interesting looking one. It looks like the Alta 8, and they just put a different engine on top. It just looks
That is a tank for hydrogen, I believe. So it's a it's a hybrid electric and hydrogen fuel cell, I think, a drone, which is also, you know, a lot of this stuff is like meant for like very long term type flying. So you kind of like can't use electric
long endurance, right?
Mm-hmm. You kind of have to use something kind of like hydrogen or even just straight up gasoline to kind of get you through those long trips.
Long
range. This one looks like it. I wonder, I didn't read this one all the way through, but I wonder if this is more meant for like for long-term, like kind of videography type stuff. Cause it has that, like has a drone, you know, the camera on the bottom, or maybe it's kind of like for like surveillance, you know, long-term like surveillance or something like that. But
I don't understand why do you need that? This is looking at, this looks like a base from the FreeFly Alta 8 system, right? Just looking at the arm. And the frame. So to me is why do you want a filming drone, right? A heavy lift filming drone for surveillance. I mean, you don't need that super high quality camera with a lens package. You want clarity, you want reliability, you want endurance, and you want to be a little bit incognito. so to speak. Like once this drone takes off, it's definitely going to grab eyeballs from the ground.
Yeah, maybe I don't know what the altitude is, but you know, maybe it's going to fly super high or protein powder delivery. that could totally be it as well. And maybe it's just like long duration films. Like you want to do longer shots.
Who wants to watch an hour of just a drone shot?
Maybe like an hour long, you know, like a no cut scene or something like that. And you just don't want
right.
to, like, you don't want to like take the time to like, after, if you do have to start over, you don't want to like, you know, land the drone, put in, you know, replace the batteries and take back off. You get like two or three takes out of it instead. I don't know. There's a lot of like, just really kind of, I mean, same thing with when I went to CES, like you see a lot of stuff that makes sense. And you see a lot of stuff that like, head, you know, what, spectrum. It's cool, but I don't know what you're going for with it.
Well, we shall see. So that's this year at Exponential from AUVSA. You can always expect to see cool things and things that we don't really understand from AUVSA.
You know, it might make, if it understands for one person and they sell it, perfect. Was this the one that was like, I think it's like 80,000 or something like that, and they sold a few, I think?
Because
I read parts of the article.
I mean, 80,000 is not expensive for a drone this size.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know what the prices are, what they run for. So, I mean, if it's just cheap and it can like do long duration stuff, maybe people go for it. So
we shall see. A couple of other news updates this week. Hawaii is legally banning drones for fishing. I mean, that's very similar. I'm not sure what happens down in the States, but here in Canada, you can't use drones for hunting. Right. I mean, I think that's along the similar line. Obviously, if you have commercial license, that's a different story. But if you're doing recreational, this almost defeats some of that purpose of recreational. Plus, you already have fish finders and radars on your boat if you're doing recreational. Like, why do you want to make it more complicated anyway?
I kind of found this like partially kind of like a humorous story. I know it's for down there people are, it's probably very serious, because the issue is that they're taking these drones far out off the coast to kind of do their fishing, and so it's also taking all of the fish with it, because that's where they find the bait and that's where they eat, so like, that's where they kind of go. I'm just like, I'm trying to imagine someone who's like, you know, is doing the normal thing, casting a thing off the shore, and also you just look over and you just see a drone fly out and just like drop a little thing and just poof, pops up, flies out, drops a fish, goes back out there. I'm just like, man, like it must be easy. And I guess it is easier to do that than and kind of doing it the old style type way. But the Hawaii is their I don't remember what it's called down there, but kind of like their wildlife agency is kind of like banning the use of drones for fishing, which isn't necessarily banning flight of drones, which is where the FAA comes in. It's banning that their use for fishing, which is totally within their jurisdiction to kind of do.
How do they define using drones for fishing? I mean, is dropping bait using it for fishing? It's flying around, getting images and seeing where the fishes are. Is that for fishing?
Yeah, I don't know we haven't, I guess, that sort of detail we don't know, but it sounds like what drones are doing right now, they're not doing images, they're not doing like reconnaissance, they're legitimately like have a little like,
and you put
hook.
The fishing line on that,
they have a fishing line with a hook and they drop it, they put a little release mechanism on the drone, like you can see here they use an Inspire, which I feel like it's a little overkill, but I guess maybe when you're flying super far out, maybe you want the longer flight time or the more wind resistance or whatever it is. Drops the line into the water, and as soon as they get like a tug, they just go, you know, they just go horizontal, go vertical, and then they fly back to the shore. Like it's
so it's a fishing drone.
It is kind of funny to think about like what they're doing. Like it's just like, man, that is something I would come up with, because I'm just lazy. I don't want to like do the whole like hand cranking.
If you fish recreationally, that takes away the fun, right? Like having the fishing rod and fighting with the fish to reel it in, that's more than half of the fun.
And I'm assuming like the fishermen who are doing this are not doing it recreationally. Like any coastal city, you know, there are full-time fishermen who go out and, you know, that's their living is it's fishing. So I'm assuming this is like probably increasing their yield or at least, you know, getting bigger fish, different fish that they couldn't get, you know, on the shoreline that way. Which
using
like
a $20,000 drone, sure.
Hey, it's cheaper than a boat.
Right.
You know, instead of going in a boat out there, they just took a drone. So
yeah, I'm not so sure on the business feasibility of it. But I'll just stick it out there to say, you know what, I always find if you're doing this recreationally, then don't take the fun out of yourself, right?
Like yeah.
Being on the water with a fishing rod, that's more than half of the fun. Okay, last update for this week is more news on that eVTOL we were talking about. It's interesting to see from, you know, that's your approach from general aviation. Before something even becomes real, you started forming committees together and people started looking at how to deal with maintenance, safety, and other things. And that also shows there must be true value in these air taxi or autonomous, you know, aircraft type of situation, because if they weren't delivering value, it wouldn't, people wouldn't be committed to basically their time and effort to form these committees together. So it'll be interesting to see where, you know, that whole eVTOL industry goes as we see the stories unfold.
Yeah. And this committee is between Archer and United. More specifically, I think it's going to be United Express, which is kind of their like regional type kind of airline service. I mean, most of them have them down here. Like American Eagle, which is American Airlines, is kind of like smaller to lower markets aircraft. And so this kind of makes sense for United to kind of like put it into there. Like this might be like between, you know, like Newark and Dulles or like, you know, real short term flights just to, you know, get connecting flights or to helipads close in the city, kind of like the last mile of air travel. It looks very promising for Archer, who has a pretty good prototype and pretty good kind of business kind of going with eVTOLs.
So that's all the news we've got this week. I do see some questions asking there about the new Mini 3 Pro or, you know, some comments on DJI's Mavic 3 modifications. And while first of all, for Mavic 3, we're still waiting for DJI to resolve the GPS issue, right? Mm-hmm. But we are coming up to almost the end of April, and DJI pushed the product release for Mini 3 until sometime in May. So I guess we just have to wait to see the product release, and you know, then we'd be able to get our hands on one and then show you guys what the real performance looks like.
Yeah, so we're super excited for that release to come out. I'm sure everyone else is all super excited for that release as well.
That's all we got this week, and we'll see you all back here next Friday at Drone DJ.